Hi there. Welcome to the New Life Live podcast. Steve here. And since 1988, New Life has been transforming lives one life at a time. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's most hard, difficult places. One way we do this is through the live program that we share with our listeners here on this podcast. Now, you'll get to listen to callers bringing us their challenges, and our panel of counselors and psychologists provide insight, which you will learn from too.
Hello, everybody. It's Becky Brown, and I am with Dr. Alice Benton and Mark Cameron today. We are taking your calls for the next 2 hours. You can call us at 1-800-229-3000. And as you have heard us talk about before, May is Mental Health Awareness Month. And I heard a question the other day that said, who decided to call it emotional baggage and not a grief case? Because that is what a lot of us are dealing with. We're carrying around the stuff inside of us. But how can you tell if you're in a season of grief or in a season of burnout or sadness or clinically depressed? It can kind of look the same. But how do we determine that?
There are some symptoms that we look for to decide, does this reach the level of being clinical? And it's kind of a severity level. So a couple of the things that we look at are, how long is it lasting? And when it starts to stretch out beyond a couple of weeks, and when it begins to feel chronic, we also look at the level of severity. So is it overwhelming? And is it starting to impair different areas of your life, relationship, work, school? And significantly, we look at, are there symptoms, severe symptoms such as thoughts of death? And are people starting to struggle with suicidal thoughts? And all of those would be indications that this is probably moving towards a more clinical depression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think burnout is more related to a thing, right? Your role in something, whether you're a caregiver or it's your job. And then clinical depression, I think I would define it. It's that overall mood that is kind of with you and you don't really get relief from it because you lose interest and you lose energy. And so it affects you that way.
So how would you know when you're supposed to go see somebody? I mean, I know the three of us know that, but, you know, for somebody who's listening who may have been in a season of depression or low mood or grief, like, when do you go? When do you know to go?
I think when your coping skills are no longer working well enough, when other people are starting to express their concern that you're struggling. Mm-hmm. But I'd also say that every so often, getting just a checkup from the neck up of going in to see a clinician, even just for one session to do a consultation, to lay out the problems, to say, is this something that I need professional help with? Or am I managing well enough on my own? If you're questioning, should I go into therapy or not? Pretty good sign that you could use some additional help.
Yeah, some people do, you know, if it's low enough level depression, some people will say to me, oh, I feel like I'm in a funk, and they can kind of get through. But I think it's when it's kind of lasting for a long time and you know, depression, typically you can't think your way through it, right? It's something that happens to you, and it's just really helpful to be able to go and process with someone and figure out what's going on. And again, as we know, sometimes it gets to the point where medication is needed or other types of interventions.
Do you know, it's interesting because there's a lot of times where people are in a depressive state for such a long time, whether it is related to grief or burnout, that they don't even know that this is not as good as they can feel. And, you know, you hear stories from people who, the before and the after, and they look back at those seasons where they just really were struggling and didn't realize that the help was going to make that big of a difference. And, you know, that's what we're all about here. We want to make a difference in your life. And like you said, Alice, you know, a checkup from the neck up. And I also think, you know, even in our groups, you know, when we talk about, you know, either life recovery groups or just in our connections with other people, to listen to how other people are experiencing us. It's okay to ask for help, and I think that's going to be the biggest barrier, whether it is that you call us today and we get you started on that journey, or whether you, you know, call out to a counselor. But guess what? You can call us for that too. So if you want to talk to us on the radio today, call us 1-800-229-3000. And we will be back after this answering your questions and give you some hope for this day.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. You know, one of the ways that you can receive help, we talk about betrayal all the time. And so many women who have experienced betrayal are fearful of reaching out for help for many reasons. But we are going to provide a free webinar May 25th with Stacey Sadler. And you can register. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE to get registered or go to the website and there'll be a link there. But that's one way for you to get started on your care journey. And we just invite you to join us there. We've got a lot of women that have already signed up and we look forward to helping you along the way. Right now we're going to go to our...
Can I just quick say about Stacey, because I want to add to your invitation to the ladies. Stacey is such an incredible speaker because not only is she very knowledgeable professionally, but she also shares from her personal experience about how to handle what she'll be talking about. So she gives you great practical knowledge and she's warm. So it feels really safe learning from her. So ladies, don't miss out on this opportunity.
That's right. And you can go to newlife.com and find out more information. Thanks, Alice, for that. And we're going to speak with Ann this morning or today with Ann, who's calling us from San Francisco, listens online. Hi, Ann. Thanks for calling. How can we help you today?
I've been struggling and I'm wanting to know how to get beyond feelings of abandonment related to an attachment to a therapist I'm no longer able to see.
Huh. It's
really strange and I'm trying to grasp at how to get beyond this without her help. And I am seeing a counselor. But
okay. All right. Let's start with you, Alice, and see how we can help Ann with this.
And I heard you say this is very strange, but I want to normalize it. To have such a strong bond to a previous clinician that you work with and you feel abandoned because you don't have that particular help from her anymore, that actually, it makes sense without even knowing your story. It makes sense because sometimes the therapist has become the safest person in our life and they can take the role of other caregivers, whether it's a parental role or a sisterly role, and they fill a space for us. So to lose a clinician is like losing a close family member, somebody that you have a strong connection with. Does that description fit for you, that that's the kind of person she became in your life?
Oh, well, definitely, uh-huh. Because she's kind of like my mom. Because I had abandonment issues as a kid, and that's when I realized there's just this connection, because the feelings I would have when she couldn't see me or whatever 20 some years ago was just like when I couldn't have my mom. So I know it's directly related to, you know, childhood trauma. And the part I'm having a hard time getting beyond is not being able to see her, but trusting the clinician I'm seeing now, mm-hmm. with trying to figure out, well, why won't they give me hope? I keep thinking that when she's able to bill, you know, from right now I can't see her because of billing, but that's going to change. And I just know I'm pretty sure she won't even see me then because I'm too needy.
Well, it sounds like it was also abrupt for you, Anne, because you said that she couldn't see you because of your health insurance. And so, that is really unfortunate, because usually, when we finish up with clients as therapists, we want to do a couple of sessions of closure. And typically when you're finishing up with a client too, is they've reached their goals and they're in a good place. And for you, it sounds like that didn't happen. It was more kind of abrupt.
No, well, actually it did happen that way, but it was over 20 years ago. And then, you know, I would need help occasionally in the last 20 years, but I could never find her. So I'd go to somebody and they never, it was like starting at ground zero and it just seemed ineffective. So anyway, I started therapy again about 6 months ago, and this therapist reminded me so much of her that I decided to search for her, and I found her. And she happened to be down. She's the intern for my current clinician. So then I told my clinician I need her, you know, to get me through this. And they say, well, you really don't, because you went 20 years without her, and I've proven I can function. My life had changed. She changed my life dramatically because she gave me the courage and the value that I needed to be able to leave an abusive marriage, to get an education, to get a career. So I've done all those things. And I was worried that when I saw her, because she did give me one promo visit, I was worried that I might fall back into that pit, because that attachment
sure.
back then was so strong.
And Anne, as you're filling in more of the pieces to your story, my goodness, the loss of your marriage, although it was perhaps a necessary and healing loss because there was abuse, a disconnection from your mother. There are multiple significant losses you've had in your life. So to have had such an effective therapist, but this span of 20 years, now you've recently found her again, it's making more and more sense that it's so hard for you to not have her at this time. And as your new counselor is perhaps only temporary, as you're waiting and hoping that you can reconnect with your clinician, what I would recommend is doing intentional grief work. And not looking at just the grief of this therapist that you're not able to see right now, but it's probably accumulated grief. And even though I'm sure grief work has been part of what you've done with all this good counseling, we have to re-enter it when we are in a season where our grief becomes more acute again. And it's usually God's invitation to say, there's more work to do here about the therapist, about your marriage, about your mother, and perhaps some of the other losses that you have had in your life. And so I would talk with your new counselor about the struggle you're having to bond with her and about the grief work that you need to do to help you until hopefully you can see your old therapist again.
Yeah, and
Mark, that's exactly what she said, you
good.
Know, and she said
yep,
to look
there
at
you
that.
Go.
But I'm stuck between bargaining and sadness, and every once in a while anger gets in there. But I'm afraid I don't want to get attached to this counselor. Mm. And I know I could transfer. I'm very well aware that I could.
Well,
Anne,
let's hear what Mark has to say about this.
Yeah, so Anne, it sounds like, again, I hear what you're saying, that you have a fear, right? Because if you attach now to this new counselor, then what happens, right? This person then might become this another loss in your life, right? And as Alice was saying, right, just kind of builds upon all the losses that you've had. Usually what I want to do when I'm in therapy with someone is I want to look at near and far, right? So near is the thing, the trigger, the things that are happening right now, and the far is the things that happened, you know, way back when, which was the original wound here. So you've got both going on, and lots of times in therapy we're looking at both kind of simultaneously together. I think what I might recommend for you too, as Alice was touching here on grief and you were talking about being stuck, is maybe joining a grief group, because being able to grieve with others, it gives us kind of this experience where we're not alone anymore, because lots of times we feel alone in our grief. And so getting in a group, we that can help with that aloneness feeling, and we can also might be able to help others get through to a different stage, and others there might be able to help us get through to a different stage, and they're credible to us because we know that they're going through something similar.
And Anne,
I love that.
As you're tentative to bond with this new therapist, you probably know that the more you hold back from your current clinician, the less effective therapy will probably be, because it's the bond is the most powerful healing agent of the therapeutic relationship. So you have the right to withhold, especially because it may be temporary, but it will probably prolong the good healing work you're trying to do. There's power in intentionally entering into a relationship that you know will end for the purpose of practicing bonding at a safe level and then going through structured, planned grief before the relationship ends. And that can actually do some retroactive healing to those other relationships that ended, some of which were out of your control. So it may be worthwhile to take the risk of bonding and then intentionally grieving the loss of this current clinician.
I love that. That is such a powerful statement, though, too, Alice, because it's complicating why you're going to the therapist, because it's getting in the way. And so how you let that go and move on is pretty powerful. I'm thinking of Take Your Life Back for Anne. Yep, I don't know if you guys agree with that, but that would be a good next step. Thank you for calling, Anne. And we are praying for this new time with this therapist. We're going to talk with Kathy, who's calling us from Ventura and listens on KDAR. And we're so glad you called today. Kathy, how can we help you?
Hi there. I'm wondering what is the next right thing to do with my elderly father, who is all my life been narcissistic and very abusive to me. And I have a new life counselor who tells me I have complex PTSD and I'm codependent because of it. And last summer, he, just went off on me again about, I asked how old his new girlfriend was, and he just went off on me. And so it was just kind of like the last straw for me. And now we haven't had any contact, but he emailed me on Saturday and said he didn't understand my aloofness because, of course, it couldn't be what happened last summer, because that's over and done with. You know, when he declares something done, we never talk about it. I have to apologize and grovel. And I didn't this time. I actually last summer wrote him an email as to what my motive was out of love and caring for him. And he emailed me back and said he loved me and he hoped that never changed. And then he just reiterated and doubled down on how awful I was again.
I'm so sorry.
I don't know where to go from here, because, I told him too, and I emailed him back yesterday morning, and I said, you know, I want to give you a thoughtful, God-honoring, God-centered answer, but it's going to take me time. But I love you and I forgive you. Mm. And then he emailed me back and said, I understand, which was, pretty conciliatory for him. But I don't know what a relationship, I hate to use that word even, it makes me sick to my stomach. What does it look like? How do I honor God?
That's a good question. Mark, let's start with you.
Yeah.
What would you offer?
Kathy, I think you're actually doing a fantastic job from how you're explaining things. It sounds like you really kind of have had a very challenging and difficult relationship with your dad. And I can't imagine, if you're explaining how things are now, I can't imagine what that was like growing up when you're in this one up, one down position and you're looking to your dad.
Right.
And he's treating you this way. But I think you're actually doing a really good job holding these boundaries, keeping your dad at a distance. And you know, people who have narcissistic personality disorder, if your dad really does have that, typically they don't recover from that. And so what you have to do is just have these strong boundaries. I love that you're saying, let me pause and let me give you a good answer, and you're not not giving these quick answers back to, in a panicky kind of way. So I actually think you're doing good. I think you just continue to think about, how do I, and you may have to limit your relationship with your dad, which it sounds like you're doing. How do I continue to do that from a safe way for you to be protected?
That's good. Alice?
And how do I explain to him, I don't feel like I want to blast him with the truth. I don't need to do all that. But how do I explain this to him?
Kathy, I think with the help of your therapist, you decide how honest are you able to be? How frank are you going to choose to be with your dad, knowing that it's not generally safe to be in conversation with him? He will likely lambast you as he has in the past. So you may have developed the strength that you're going to just lay it out there and you're going to get a bad reaction. Perhaps you're not quite that far along yet, and you're going to give a brief
maybe limited explanation of why you're so aloof. You get to decide how much you disclose to your dad. And we'll come back with a little bit more of how to go about doing that after the break.
Yeah, you can hear the music, Kathy, but hold on, because we will come back and talk a little bit more about that. You know, we are taking calls. We've got some lines open, 1-800-229-3000. Maybe you need some help. We can try to begin that process.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're so glad you're here. We are talking with Kathy right now, who's had a battle. Well, it's a relational battle. You know, sometimes with parents, it can be a little bit tricky. But Kathy, you've done some really incredible work, and you were talking before the break about how to reconnect if possible, if it's possible. And so we were, Alice, I think we ended with you. You were kind of talking about the process of her going forward in that.
Mm-hmm. And deciding how much to disclose to a person that is unsafe. So when you're asked, mm-hmm. why have you been so aloof? We might give a vague answer of, oh, it's just been a really busy couple of months, had a lot going on with my family. And that's all we say. Sometimes we decide to delve deeper into the truth. Dad, some of our recent conversations before were critical, overly critical on your part, and I felt hurt. And when I feel that hurt, I need to withdraw for a time. I need to kind of lick my wounds. I wasn't ready to talk with you. And we go deeper, revealing more. But it's emotionally dangerous to do so with a person who has a history of being abusive with his words. Sometimes God calls us to be that frank, even though we're entering into a risky situation, because we're called to give truth to the people around us, to give truth in love. But we've got to build ourselves up spiritually and emotionally in order to have the strength to withstand the blowback from that kind of communication. But sometimes miracles happen. Sometimes the grace and the truth that we share get through to a person, but the likelihood is unfortunately low for your dad, unless he's in a recovery process or enters into one.
And let me release you a little bit too, Kathy. You don't have to explain all of your actions. I mean, I know we want to do that, you know, generally, because in most, you know, typical relationships, we explain and somebody understands. With somebody who is narcissistic, they don't understand. It doesn't make sense, because they are, what only makes sense for them is their own experience and how they see the world. So let me free you from that, is that you don't have to explain everything. I like what Alice said there, was give a vague answer. You know, it could just be, I've just been busy. But then hold your boundaries, because people don't have to understand boundaries or like them to be able to respect them, and they can learn to respect them. So free yourself up that you don't have to explain all of your actions.
And if you decide, Kathy, to give a more frank answer someday, do the preparation work with your clinician. I had to have this kind of conversation with some of my family members. And Kathy, it took me a year of doing role plays, of talking to an empty chair in my therapy session, pretending it was a family member. I couldn't have this conversation. And I'll be upfront with you. I lied for that year about what I was doing and why I was doing it, because I was too frightened and didn't have the skills yet. I didn't have the skill set to be able to share such a distressing thought with my family. But eventually I got there, and it was tough. It was tough, but grace came afterwards. Yeah.
It can be very confusing, Kathy. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, we don't have her anymore. We disconnected from Kathy.
Nope, we got her. Kathy, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
Go ahead with what you're saying.
Oh, so I do have a counselor recommended by New Life, and she had told me a long time ago that my family is so toxic, she thought it was a miracle that I was even staying in contact with them.
There you go. So it's good that that's one of the things that you're going to learn a lot. Alice was talking about, it doesn't always feel good to them, but it doesn't mean that you're doing something wrong. And that when you come out of a family of origin like that, it takes a lot of practice. And we're so grateful that you called. We're going to take your life back, because I think, even though that is the book of the day, apparently, I think that could be helpful as you practice these steps. Thanks for calling, Kathy. We are going to go to our next caller, and it's Hannah, who's calling us from Dallas and watches us on YouTube. And if you are watching us on YouTube, click that subscribe button and like so that other people will know that New Life is there for them. Hi, Hannah. How can we help you today?
Hi. I'm good. So I'm just calling to get a little bit of guidance. My husband and I, we're in our mid-20s. We've been married for a little over 3 years, and we're coming up on that, you know, phase of life where we're looking to start a family. And he's been running his own graphic design business for a few years now, but he also has a part-time job at Trader Joe's. And he has the opportunity to become a manager there and move up within corporate. So we're in that tough spot where he's questioning whether he should sort of give up his sort of dream job of being a graphic designer where he doesn't make a ton of money, but then also, or doing something that he's less passionate about but could make good money. And I've been on the end where for years I've been really supportive of, you know, do your dream and build your business and, and you know, on that camp of things. But now as I'm kind of getting older and the years are kind of starting to pass by and, you know, I'm 26, but, you know, we've been talking about, okay, you know, when do we think we want to start having a family? And we had that conversation when we just got married, and I'm trying to keep it concise, but you know, the timeline keeps getting pushed back a bit. And, so normally he's very easy to communicate with and very in touch with his feelings about these sort of things. But it just seems like on this issue, he's having a tough time giving the answers. So.
Okay. All right. Well, Hannah, you can hear the music. We're going to go to break, and then we'll answer you on the other side of this break. It sounds like it's a communication challenge for sure. And a lot of times in marriage, that's happening without us even realizing it until it gets a little bit overwhelming. We're glad you called. We're going to continue to take calls along with answering Hannah. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-229-3000 because it is always something, and we can help you.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Club New Life supporters who give a monthly donation because they want to continue to offer help and hope in these very, very difficult places. To find out more about Club New Life, you can go to our website, newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, if you're new to us, we drop an episode every weekday. We would love it if you would rate or write a review, which helps more people discover help and hope and helps us share wisdom with as many people as possible. Now let's listen to our counselors as they help people walk through life's hardest places.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are on the phone with Hannah, who is working through those marital conversations that continue to kind of circle around the same thing. Alice, do you want to start? And let's see how we can help her.
Hannah, are you interested in being a stay-at-home mom once you have children?
Yes. And so that's a really big part of the conversation.
And what's your employment now?
I work full-time, and I'm also a full-time student. So I have about a year left of schooling, and that's when I ideally was planning on starting to have babies.
And if your husband keeps his business as his primary employment, would it be insufficient financially to be able to support you staying home with children?
Yes. So if he was doing his business and kept his job position where he's at currently, it wouldn't be enough to support support me being a stay-at-home mom.
And is he in agreement with you staying home?
Yes, he is. Well, okay, so this is kind of where it comes in, because when we first got married, he was, you know, super supportive of it and like, yeah, we'll figure it out, this is what we'll do. But you know, and I understand that reality kind of sets in, and he's very practically minded, and he's looking at the numbers and he's saying, well, I don't know how we could even do this. It looks like you'll need to work. And I'm pretty staunch, and I, you know, I'm willing to do something. I'm not like, well, it's all on you, buddy. But I'm also like, well, hey, this is, you know, I don't, you know, can you do something to maybe further your thing so that we, how can we work this out as opposed to just this won't be an option because I haven't changed my tune this whole time, but it seems like you're kind of changing where you're coming from.
And he's likely facing financial anxiety, although he had agreed with you staying home, mm-hmm. but that's going to be a heavy burden. And he might be grieving, pre-grieving, that he might lose the dream of his business, at least the way he thought it would be. So I can see how emotionally complicated this is getting for him. And I think you said he's less likely to talk about his feelings lately than he was previously. Is that right?
Yes, correct.
So this may take some more complex conversations to be able to get to resolution and to find out if he still is in agreement with you being a stay-at-home mom. I remember when we felt like, my husband and I, that I was called to leave being an employee and to start my own business. And the thought of losing insurance, the thought of that stability being lost, it was an incredibly difficult conversation and decision for our family to make. And we have three small kids as well. So mixing up the financial worries with the emotional complications of it, it becomes a pretty tough thing to face. So it might be worth having several couples counseling sessions to get a third party to help tease out the different layers of this. And you might want to do a little financial consultation as well with actually looking at the numbers of what can we afford, what might we need to decrease of our spending so that we can afford being a stay-at-home parent if this is still a dream that we agree upon.
Yeah, I, your situation here, Hannah, there's no real like moral right or wrong to it, right? You could go anyway and it could all work out. So, but you're in an exciting part of life here. You're mid-20s. There's a lot ahead of you. And but with that excitement can come anxiety. And I know for many men, right, we feel, I'm speaking as a man here, we feel, you know, this responsibility to provide for our family. And so it sounds like he's seeing that you, his wife, is desiring to have children, you know, as I'm sure he is, and he wants to make sure that he has this ability to provide. What I would say too here, I really like what Alice is saying here, and so I would focus too in therapy is not just problem solving, like what should we do here, what's the right thing. Have somebody walk you through how to tease out emotions and what's the emotions underneath that? Because a lot of times when we can express those and articulate them and be understood and empathized with by the other person, by our spouse in particular, we feel this relief, right? And then we get kind of closer toward a decision. So I really love Mylan and Kay's comfort circle. It's really designed to help a couple do that. And so I think if you can find a counselor who can help you do that, I think you'll get a little bit closer.
And include prayer in all of this, because as we try to decipher what God's will is, His will is always better for us when it's different than the dream that we've had and held on to. And so if we can, as a couple, surrender to God's will and allow Him to direct our path, we have more security in that shared belief together.
Hannah, we're going to send you a copy of How We Love, and maybe you guys will join us at the Intimacy and Marriage Workshop. But, you know, to your point, both of you, these early stages of marriage, you're setting down some foundations that if you can work it out, can make for many, many years. Because how many times do we talk to couples who we say they go back to those first couple of years and they're like, well, we couldn't settle on this, couldn't have that difficult conversation, and here we are 40 years later and we want to kill each other. So, you know, that's just some encouragement for you, Hannah, that we want you to get involved with just this process. It can be really life-giving and just amazing. You know, we have a new person in the studio right now. His name is Larry Sonnenberg. Hey. Hi, Larry.
Hi,
welcome
Becky.
Back.
Yeah, thank you. I actually got away for a couple of weeks to visit family, mm-hmm. so it was fun. But a lot happened during that time, and I want to give a report, and you can jump in here where needed here, Becky. I want to report on Steve. A lot of you have noted Steve's been absent from this program for several weeks. And he was hospitalized with heart and kidney problems, as the real driving force seemed to be the kidney problem, the struggle. And he's doing well now. But he was sent home with a severe double kidney infection. It's taken over 3 weeks to treat, but he's well now. He was hospitalized for several days and sent home with antibiotics and then stronger antibiotics to beat this thing. He's feeling good. He's ready to come back. But while he was struggling with all this, his mother, Clara, 95 years old, her health started failing, and she entered hospice, and she eventually passed. She passed a week ago today. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we need to be praying for Steve. Thank God for his health being recovered, but walk him through this time of grieving with his family. You know, Clara was a charter member way back in 2000 to Club New Life. And the family has asked that instead of sending flowers or gifts to Steve or condolences and such, please consider making a gift to New Life in memory of Clara. Mm-hmm. And we can apply that to a matching gift. And I will say, too, Steve was fortunate that he was able to, you know, in between his bouts and the pain and everything with his kidneys, he flew to Texas to see his mom one last time. And he sent a text when that happened. I think you saw that, too, Becky. His note was, "Mom's last words to me were, 'I love you.'" And that was real special. Steve's close to his mom. She's been a wonderful support and encouragement. So while he's eager to come back to work and lead the charge of all we're doing, it's going to be a couple of weeks, because this week he's going to her memorial service in Texas, and next week he'll be going to the National Religious Broadcast Convention, and there he's going to be honored and receive an award for New Life as the best radio program of the year. So he'll be back on May 29th to the radio here, and we're looking forward to that, and we're ready for him to return. We have missed him. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, Becky,
I know.
What you want to add?
Well, we had a caller a couple of weeks ago that was like asking for him, you know, like, you know, where is he? And I'm like, well, you're kind of stuck with me for a while. So, you know, but we love Steve, and all of us have benefited from his wisdom. And, you know, Clara was an amazing woman, where he got his wisdom from her, too. I mean, she loved the Lord. She wanted others to know the Lord, and it was instilled in her son, who then gives it all away to us. And, you know, I hope that we'll all continue to pray for Steve and the family as they go through this journey.
I will always remember Clara for the three things he embedded into Steve. You know, it's always something. Mm-hmm. You never know. And if it's not one thing or another, if it's not one thing, it's another. So,
yeah, well, we can honor her, you know, just in such a small way by remembering those wit and wisdom sayings that she just, you know, it is always something. And you don't ever know. And this is what's been going on for him in these last couple of weeks. This is not what he was expecting.
No.
But we're so glad he's on the mend. And we encourage you, if you want to participate in the matching gift campaign, whether it is in honor of Clara or you just are feeling generous and that's how you want to express your generosity, you can go to newlife.com. You can call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE and you can make a donation there.
Becky,
or you can mail it in. Go ahead.
I always chuckle that Steve would report that every time he wrote a book, Mom would say, "Did you have to include that in that book?"
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We are so glad you're with us. We are taking calls, 1-800-229-3000 for the next hour or so. We've got a couple of lines open, and we're going to go to talk with, let's see, we're going to talk with Lynn, who's calling us from Washington, D.C. and listens on WAVA. Hi, Lynn. How can we help you today?
Oh, my gosh. Wow. I feel like maybe I should call Wednesday, because what I have to talk about is sort of, after what I just heard, is sort of like, you know, seriously. Yes. Seriously.
Lynn, we still need and want your call. So you called the right day anyhow. We want to hear from you. Go ahead.
Oh, maybe you won't. Okay. I, by the way, when I have listened to you, and I'm going to call another time because I want to talk about tithing, but I will discuss that another time and sending money in. What I am 70 years old. I'm told I don't look it. I don't act it. I've had great family life, on and on. What my dilemma is, I am a single woman now. I've been celibate this time for like 7 years. I'm a Christian. but I have a very high sexual libido. Mm. Now, I, do not, look at porn. I never got into that. I don't use a sex toy. I'm staying away from masturbation, but I wanted to know, and when I talked to the gentleman who answered, he said, you know, there are probably other women that have the same question. What do you do when your body is just, like, zinging all over the place? Mm-hmm. And, you know, you're trying to walk a certain path. You're trying to, I don't know if that's considered sexual. What is it? Immorality. Do you get what I'm trying to say? This is hard for me.
Well, so Lynn, let me ask you this. In your life, have you been married? Has there been relationship before? Has this been a problem for all of your life?
Okay, let me, 10 minutes is not going to be enough time.
we can connect you with a counselor.
No. I have a Christian counselor and a psychologist. I live with bipolar.
Oh, good.
I can actually write a book of what God has carried me through. But I also had a dynamic family, mother and father, very good friends, very good support, and Christian clinicians. One day I'll call in because I can be an encouragement for other people. There is the other side. Anyway, but no, I have not been married. I came from a strong marriage. All around me, I saw good marriages, but I don't know when the bipolar onset, I felt I was not, what is it, commitment? Maybe
phobic.
I was commitment phobic. I was engaged multiple times. I don't know if that answered your question.
And Lynn, is the bipolar being treated? Do you take medication for it?
I only take one medication now. I take Seroquel.
And is it effectively treating your symptoms?
Well, let me just say what I feel. I feel like I was off the chain. I mean, I could write a book how God has protected me, literally. But what it does now, I am not doing risky behavior. Before, I was off the chart with risky behavior. I didn't even know I was doing it. Because when you're navigating still in the world and you have a chemical imbalance or a bipolar, whatever, when people are telling you things, you look at them like they're crazy, not that you're crazy. Sometimes the hardest people to work with because we're still out there navigating. At least we think we are until we hit
the brick
wall. And
so
then we hit the brick wall and we shake our head and we keep moving. We're like,
that's right.
Lynn, we have
just a few minutes before the end of this show. We're going to continue on. If you're on holding on, just, you know, you can do that. But Lynn, let's hear from Mark and from Alice so that maybe we can get some steps moving forward in the right direction.
Yeah, Lynn, I love your energy and just the kind of, I think, to answer maybe some of your question. is I don't think it's a sin for you to have a biological drive. I mean, we all have biological drives, and sometimes as we age, our biological drives wane, and other times, like you're saying in your experience, and most likely probably because you have bipolar disorder, right, you have this, you know, these bouts of energy. And so what can be difficult, right, is to maintain and rein in the impulsivity with that. But it sounds like you've got some medication happening, and that's helping you with that. One thing that might be of help here, I know we've only got a tiny bit of time here, is you said you've never been married, and maybe going to a grief group to kind of grieve the loss of not being married, that might help a little bit, you know, to kind of get some of this emotional stuff out that could be driving, you know, some biological drives too. So that would be my suggestion.
Lynn, I applaud you that you're doing the very thing right now in this phone call that I recommend you continue to do. But it's particularly difficult because you're part of a subset of folks that don't usually talk about what you're being so frank with us. A high sex drive for a woman at 70, it's not talked about generally, but it's not totally absent from the population. So I'm proud of you that you're talking about it. And in order to rein in any compulsion that we have, there's generally a couple of things that apply that we need to do. We do need an ongoing emotional outlet. And so if counseling with an individual counselor is not sufficient and you need more support, at a group, at a women's group where you get comfortable enough to keep admitting this to them on a regular basis. And I wouldn't be surprised if you find out that one or two of them in the group might be able to say, oh yeah, I have that as well. I struggle with that. Make sure you have a physical outlet so that there is an energy output that you're putting into high physical activity, high intensity physical activity, and that could certainly assist. And then you might want to check on your medication to see if whether the dosage needs to be reevaluated or another medication added in, because you may know that a high sex drive and the compulsion to act out on it can be part of mania. So it may be part of the bipolar symptoms that you're experiencing, and yet you're managing it beautifully. I'm proud of you.
That's a great insight, because it's true about bipolar disorder. It's interesting how the mania shows up in unexpected ways. And so the way that you have this energy, Lynn, about where you've been and what you have overcome is amazing. And this can be one more part of that chapter of healing in your life. Whenever you have an issue like this, you know, it can be hard to ask the questions, but we do applaud you for reaching out. What would be a good book to send her? Alice, you got any suggestions, or Mark? Okay, well then let's
go. I'm stumped on this one.
Let's do the one-year Bible for women. I think that'll encourage you, Lynn, as you go along. Yeah. You know, we've answered a bunch of different questions, but we're going to continue answering questions in the next hour. So give us a call at 1-800-229-3000. And we started the show with, you know, encouraging you when you have difficulties. A lot of times you don't reach out for help for many reasons, whether it is your family of origin, you know, had the message of we don't ask for help and we could figure it out. Or maybe you just are so overwhelmed. We can help you get the help that you need, and we're here for you. As we close this last minute, Alice or Mark, how can we encourage people if they're struggling?
Gosh, I would say, because this applies to me, I always have to check my pride. I don't want to admit that I can't fix my problems on my own. If you can relate to that, overcome pride along with me by asking for help. You will not regret it.
That's great. Thank you, Alice, and thank you, Mark. Thank you, listeners.
Thanks so much for listening. We hope something you heard will help you live in freedom today. If this content was helpful for you, we would love it if you'd take a minute, leave us a review, post about it, and rate it. Remember, we have resources and workshops online for you as you continue your journey. Go to newlife.com and find out more information. And thank you for being part of the New Life community. We know that God desires all of us to live a life of wholeness and healing, and we're so glad that you're here.